Optimus Prime.
I have to go in there.
If I can't bring love back, I'm going to be dead.
Discovery is running out of time.
Discovery, do you read? You can hear me. I made it through the portal.
And I cannot explain what I'm looking at right now.
Hi, welcome to you. Nerdiest Prime, where we are reviewing every episode of Star Trek Discovery. We've reached the end of season 5 and the end of the series. This episode, we're reviewing two episodes, but the second episode is like a two-parter in itself. It's kind of like the all good things of Discovery. Was this really the all good things of Discovery? Alan, what do you think? What are your first impressions?
I liked it. It's not all good things, no. I don't think you can touch anything that Discovery has done can touch that even closely. For the show itself, I mean, I've watched it, you know, unlike you guys, I guess I've watched it all the way through, you know, and got to know these characters. And it was, you know, for Discovery folks, you know, it's been a frustrating watch over the years. You know, there's good, there's Dodd, there's corny, you know, it was a good wrap up for what I've seen over the last 5 years. I was satisfied with how they wrap things up, both in the season story and just the overall theory.
Namir.
I liked it. You know, the episode 9, and I actually liked episode 10. Episode 9 was surprisingly good. And I think it had a lot to do with the fact that it was directed by Jonathan Frakes. So he turns out he's really good at his job. So while I was watching it, I was like, oh, this is actually really, really well made, right? Like the blocking was great. You knew where everybody was in the space. They had all these little jokes that added to the characters. So I kind of enjoyed it. There were still like some very Discovery specific things that annoyed me, but I was able to get over that. So I was actually kind of happy with the episode. And then I was a little bit worried because the finale wasn't directed by Frakes, and you could tell that it wasn't directed by him, but it was still pretty good. I still enjoyed it. It had some really interesting ideas, some good concepts. I'm enjoying something when I kind of get like tingles and my hair stands up on end. There was a couple of moments where that actually happened and I was like, what the hell's happening? And I was like, this has never happened before with Discovery.
And that's it.
And it did. So I was like,
yeah, yeah.
Now like,
you're like, there's emotions inside me.
There's emotions.
I'm reacting to something.
I'm feeling things. Things that I'm feeling while watching this show. It's never happened before. Because of that, I actually had a pretty good time. I think I would have done a couple of things differently. I was hoping they would do things. I was hoping they would go one direction and they went another way. But we can talk about that. But I surprisingly liked it. I do think that this whole season had huge problems, and if the season was cut short and if it was just, you know, episode 9, episode 10, and maybe like the two other episodes, basically if it was half the length, then this season would have been pretty good. But they had to stretch it out with a lot of nonsense, and that really took away from the whole storyline.
Yeah, well, you guys said, I think it was Namir, you said, you know, they might still pull out of the fire at the last minute, and you know, I thought they didn't, but I still, you know, I kind of enjoyed this much more than I've enjoyed. I wasn't angry this time watching. And for episode 9, I did enjoy myself. I was kind of like, oh, kind of just having a good time enjoying it. And the episode 10, it was well made, and there was some really good things. It had all the same problems that Discovery has usually, but they were all being kind of softened by a lot of other good choices. Okay, so let's get right into it. Let's start with Alan with the Breen get the tech first.
Oh man, I couldn't believe that scene because I'm like, that was it reminded me of Data Lore, where it's like all of a sudden the crew just got really stupid. And I'm like, they arrive there before the Breen. The Breen are hot on their trail, on their tail or whatever, and it's like, oh, there it is. There's what we're looking for after all the season of searching for it. And then they just sit there and they gawk at it and they talk about it and they go, oh, geez, oh, wow. And then the Breen just swoop in and go, whoop, yoink. And they fly out with it. And they're like, what? Why didn't they beam it aboard? Tractor. They just, it's like, it's Discovery being Discovery, where it's like they got to talk about everything. It's like, oh, we should be doing stuff, but instead we're going to talk about stuff. And then it was just funny that in this case, it cost them their prize. And yeah, that made me laugh.
What's his name? Ryan George on YouTube, and he goes, so the movie would happen. That's why that scene happened. That's what happened. And then we get a heist. It's like they have to like do like they have to get on the thing and do the thing, and I forget all the details of all the things they had to do, but all I remembered is they had to be fast because they gotta get Adia to come and hack the computer, and Stamets isn't fast enough, so it's gotta be fast. But there's time to in the middle of the heist to like for Brim to talk to Book about
in a little alcove.
I know.
Yeah, I remember
That's
thinking,
Discovery
really,
Game
it's come
really
now?
good.
Yeah, exactly.
What are your thoughts about the heist, Amir? About that, every time they would meet a Gorn, not a Gorn, a Breen, it was like they basically would go like, "Hey, what's that?"
They're pretty stupid too. Yeah, you know what? I completely I didn't know what the plan was. I didn't pay attention to it. I was just like, okay, they're on the Breen ship. They got to do their thing. The one thing that I just kept getting distracted by were the shots of their heads in the Breen helmet, like Iron Man.
Oh, they were doing some Iron Man shots.
They were doing the Iron
Oh,
Man thing.
I hate those.
My favorite shot is when they did the three of them. They're like, I, Captain.
That was great, but I was like, their helmets are not that big, but there's like a lot of black space around them. And if you look really closely, you could see like the little hoods they wear, the black hoods they wear to hide their hair and all that stuff. And I'm like, oh, this is kind of really poorly done, but it was fine. You just kind of ignore that
That's
stuff.
what you wear underneath a Breen helmet, don't you know?
You wear cotton baklavas with the face open. Baklavas? No, balaclavas. Baklavas is sweet. I guess it's two words mixed up too. Maybe they have little baklava dispensers in there too, and they're just like.
They have crumbs everywhere inside. When they open it up, it just like pours out.
Then that's how the Breen know that they're not Breen. They're like, we don't need baklavas.
Okay, Saru returns in this episode. How do you feel about that, Alan?
It's always nice to see Saru. He's been sorely missed this season. So it's nice to have him back. It's just too bad in part one that everything he does is just talked about. So he's just kind of like a talking head at Fed HQ. Like they talk about Saru doing these things like, oh, he went to this place and did this, but you don't see any of that. No, I think Saru is an important part of the show. And when he's not there, and I actually like don't particularly like Saru, but I think he's important in terms of the dynamic of the characters and the episode. He's a bit of a foil to Burnham, which is nice to have. Like he's very much, and I think this was the case, much more of the case in the first few seasons than now, but he's like, we got to do it by the book, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And Burnham's like, nah, we're just gonna get out there and ride the top of a ship like it's a surfboard, that kind of stuff. But it's necessary. So when he's not there, you can feel it. So when he came back, everything kind of felt a little bit better. Like it felt a little bit more like, okay, that missing piece of the show is now back. It's clicking a little bit. So I'm glad he was there, and he's an interesting character. You know, I like the idea that his race is actually a race of predators that were, you know, the Kelpians were actually predators that were turned into prey for a long time. And so you can see that in him, and he pulls that out when he's talking to the other breed, Primarch or whatever. So what's her name? T'Hall? Lal?
Something like that.
It does ring. It doesn't matter. So yeah, I'm glad he was back this episode.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't remember that much else about the first episode, but I do remember that really cool move that Discovery does, where they go right through the shields to figure out how what angle they have to hit the shields to go through them and not destroy the ship. And then when they do, it like decompresses the whole hangar bay, and they can pick everybody away. Like, I thought that was pretty cool. I like that part.
Yeah, I like that. I feel like
a couple cool things with the ship in this finale. So,
yeah, like, you know, when Raynor in command, yeah, like Raynor in command is actually really interesting. You know, like I think maybe they were trying to set up, or maybe, I don't know, like maybe a backdoor pilot for, like, you know, how to continue Discovery, and then it was canceled. But like Raynor and Tilly's dynamic is really fun. It's really cool. Like they have that one moment where it's like, I can't remember exactly what they say, but Raynor's like being Raynor, is being all crotchety, and he makes a statement that's totally deadpan, but it's kind of a joke. And then there's just this shot of Tilly looking super serious, and then she just breaks out in this grin as she's looking up at him. It's just some really nice, like it's a really human kind of moment that I'm not used to seeing in Discovery, but adds so much to the, you know, that character and how they relate to each other. That's totally a Jonathan Frakes thing.
I love that. I'm just gonna move over here and set on with something else. So the thing, they get that tech and they open it up, and it's kind of like a black hole or something. But I love that I don't think it was done on purpose, but it becomes sort of like almost like a trope in a comedy. Or like, send in the guard or send in the guy to go do the dangerous thing, and everybody goes, approaches it, they're super scared, they go into the thing. It's kind of like at the ending of The Last Crusade, and then they send in the guy into the tunnel, and then there's just a head comes out afterwards. That's basically what's happening here, is they just
and then they're like, okay, send in the next guy.
Exactly. But I find, like, I mean, the whole Locke and Maul thing are just like, it's like the whole thing was a nothing burger. Like, what was the point of having them in the whole thing? Like, the whole point of their arc was that she was going to save them, and at the end, it's like, oh, she can't save them.
So, I was actually surprised at that.
Yeah, me too. I was surprised and disappointed.
Yeah, and it was kind of like, well, there was no point anymore of that whole arc. Like, the whole arc is what exactly? That he dies and she has to accept his death. Like,
no, it didn't make any sense.
And, but also, she's also boring in a whole reaction. The whole reaction is like, he's not going to die. Not if I have anything to say about it. And that's her whole attitude in every episode. This is not the way our story is supposed to end. You know, like, who writes this crap? Like, it just kept on going. And then when she went inside, she just like kept punching Burnham inside the little like secret hole, and they just kept doing that. Like, and it's almost like when they were in there together, like it was like Willy Coyote and the Roadrunner. Like, that was the whole thing that was going on. Yes.
Well, I mean, this was filmed with the anticipation, I think, that they were going to get a season 6. Like, this was filmed way before they found out that they weren't getting any more. So, I mean, maybe, because it does feel like the Breen were unresolved. Like, you didn't find out who won the power struggle. You know, were they going to be a continuing threat to the Federation? you know, there was it, a lot of that was left hanging. And I think if it had got season six, well, I think even Cal and Keith Rennie said he was going to be, you know, a regular, like he was going to be like keep going as Discovery's XO if it got renewed. So, I mean, there were plans. And I think maybe this is all this stuff that feels unresolved and pointless and nothing burgers might have paid off if had there been another season. But I mean, it is what it is, I guess. We got what we got. But I mean, yeah, the Maul, I was never impressed with Maul and Locke. I say I was surprised that he didn't get revived. But I was also like, it was a pleasant surprise too. Like, oh, they went against my expectation. And I'm like, you know, because a lot of times I find Discovery kind of predictable. So I was like,
yeah, oh. But I think that kind of predictability is okay, right? Because you want that storyline to be resolved somehow, right? Like there was no other way to end that storyline other than bringing back Locke, right?
Right.
There's so many clues. They're like, you know, they kept mentioning it. They're like, they could also bring back people from the dead, you know, like multiple times they said that, but they don't follow through on that, which just kind of was annoying.
But I think if that had happened earlier and then you saw Maul like coming to terms with her grief and realizing how her life had gone off the wrong, that is basically time to make new decisions in life or something. If her character had evolved in some way, then it would make sense for Locke to die. But for him to die and for her to be the same, essentially, they have a hint that maybe she's going to be rehabilitated, but she's basically the same character. She has no arc, you know?
Yeah, like her arc should have been, you know, she brings, early in the episode, she would bring Locke back, but it turns out when Locke comes back, he's not the same Locke. He's just a typical Breen, right? And so he does all these Breen things, and then she has to ultimately kill him, you know? Like, so for...
Or accept that he's not coming back.
Or except that he's never coming back, right? But that you're right, that never happens. So the whole thing is pointless, and it feels very empty. And it just, again, feels like the story is, again, about Burnham. And it was always all about Burnham the whole time, even though we spend time with Maul and Locke. And, you know, to make it seem like their storyline is important in some way, it just never is.
I feel like they could have taken more time, not have Maul and Locke, and taking more time with some of the more secondary characters on Discovery and flesh them out a little bit better, and so make them so that you cared about them or something. But really, no characters are really like fleshed out other than Burnham and I forget the doctor's name.
Colbert and Stannis.
Hugh Kubler.
Oh my god! You watched all five seasons of this show. You don't even know his name.
Yeah, but it's like Kubler.
I think it's Colbert.
Colbert.
Colbert Starburst maneuver. Is that his name? Okay, let's talk about the progenitor's secret hole, because. Burnham goes in there, and it reminded me of the end of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy when they go to the planet-making factory.
With Slarty Barkfast.
The what?
With Slarty Barkfast.
Is that the name of the character that gives him the tour?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. Bill Knightley?
Bill Knightley.
Thank you, guys, for embarrassing me. Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed the heist in the first episode, and then when she got to the planet-making secret hole, I was like, oh, it's just kind of cool with the different, like, gravity things. You know, it's funny because the concepts are really cool, but what they do in those environments is very predictable. It's like punching, and, so when she puts her hand on the thing and then she falls in one of the environments, and it's like that rocky, like, hurricane planet. And then I, like, never seen this episode before, and I'm going in my head, and 3, 2, 1, there's somebody behind her with a gun. Now. And there's somebody behind her with a gun. You know, like, if that's how predictable, like, I can pursue on the rhythm of the beat what's going to happen, because it's just so formulaic. And, you know, and, you know, it's supposed to be smart, but it's like how fast is the wind going to go to blow somebody back up into a hole? Like I don't know about you, Alan, but I've been in a hurricane. You know, we get hurricanes in Halifax, and you know, when you get blown by 100-mile wind, like, it's really loud and it's really annoying, and you get a lot of like a rain stinging your face, but you don't go flying into the trees, you know?
I mean, people do with tornadoes. Tornadoes will, yeah, but... will throw you. And I mean, and the hurricanes we've experienced here are only like cat ones. I mean, maybe if you're in a cat four or five, you do fly across the...
Yeah, maybe. But if you're in a cat four hurricane, you're not going to be able to hang on onto a rock to save yourself.
Yeah, on a random rock. Like, just happens to have like handholds in the perfect place where you need them.
Well, I like the porthole scene. I thought it was visually stunning, and I was like captivated by the whole thing. I'm like, wow, it's like, this is really creative. Like they made a really cool environment.
Yeah, I didn't,
it's like weird and.
My only problem was that they had this like this you know, science fiction playground, and really all they did was fight in exotic places. Mm-hmm. You know, that's like the entire point. And not only that, they just kept using this like. This way over the top slow motion for no reason. And I, you know, like, they're not superheroes, right? They're supposed to be real people.
But that's the aesthetic that they're going for.
But they didn't do that I've never seen slow motion in any other episode of this season.
Mm.
Right? Like, why suddenly pull it out now? It doesn't make any sense. Like, it just drove me nuts.
Because the secret hole. The secret hole, again.
The secret hole is a slow motion.
I enjoyed their time in the secret hole. I didn't have my phone. I wasn't playing my phone, Dorian. Like, I was captivated by. I thought it was like, yeah, like, it was visually stunning. I enjoyed the fight scene between them. I mean, I find the Maul character really annoying, and I was hoping Burnham kept giving her chances to redeem herself, and I'm like, God damn it, just kill her, like. Talking about Star Trek 3, it's like when Kirk kicks Klingon on the face. I'm like, just kick her into one of these flaming holes and get rid of her.
But she's got to do the
Starfleet thing where it's like, you know, you try to find the best in everybody and, you know, do the right thing and etc. And I'm like, she's had no redeeming qualities. And I'm like, just get rid of her. She keeps trying to pull a gun on you. She's really stupid.
Okay, here. Give me a chance. What are you trying to say?
I think, you know, that's the whole scene really, really brought home to me that, you know, like, it's called Discovery, but they don't actually do any discovering. You know, they're on a science ship. They don't actually do any science. You know, they're not there to explore. You know, they're just there to, like, fight and destroy
things. They do science all the time.
When?
Stamets is literally doing science in every episode.
Yeah, but they're not going on science missions, right? Like, he's doing science because he's the scientist on the ship, right? But they're not going to different planets to discover things or learn things. Burnham doesn't give a shit that she's in this entire world of all these amazing doors. She's not curious about anything. She's just like, you know, who can I beat the shit out of when I'm in this exotic planet, you know, like she's not curious about anything or learning. It just, you know,
we get to the end and it's like the poppy field from Wizard of Oz and with the Oompa Loompas.
Yeah.
You can say they went to the Toronto florist and they got as many flowers as they could, and then they VR wall the rest of it into empathy.
Yeah. But you know, I did like that sequence. I thought it was well done, but there, like I've said before, there are lots of things that bothered me about it. But I at least I felt like they were trying something different, right? Like they were kind of pushing, you know, trying something new and something a little bit more sci-fi-y, if that's a word, I don't know.
Is now.
But it is now, yeah. So, they were at least kind of spreading their wings a little bit, which I appreciate.
I didn't mind all that. It's very predictable, but the environment was really cool, and I liked that there was at least some sense of discovery a little bit. Like, she's like, what is this place? What is this? Da, 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 kind of thing. And so in between the fighting, there was a little bit of that going on, and there was a sense of awe and excitement and interest, and I thought that all that stuff worked really well. I think what didn't work for me at all was the puzzle piece at the end. Like, when she was saying the hint, I'm like, oh, you mean like take all the little triangles and make a triangle out of it? Like, is that what you mean? And then when she did it, it's like, I am the genius of the fucking universe by figuring it out. And I'm like, I figured it out before you. Like,
well, Maul couldn't figure it out.
The thing is that you want to watch these things, and you want to be like, yeah, I knew what it's going to be. And then they surprise you with some left field thing that you're like, oh, that was so obvious. I should have seen that coming a mile away, but I didn't because they're so smart. But that's not this show at all.
It was like, well, I have to say, I didn't know it was going to be an empty triangle. I was like, what could it possibly be? Like, I had no idea what that clue was.
It was literally in the hint. It was like, create a triangle with the triangles, what the instructions were. Create a triangle with the spaces of the triangle, with the spaces.
No,
With the space of the shape.
It's like, were you on your phone when you watched this? Like, did you watch it?
No, I was paying attention, which is why I figured out the ending before you, Alan.
No, it was like, look at the space between the shapes. That was it. Well, it could be anything.
Well, no, but she...
My complaint was that there was no way she should have been able to figure out that it was a triangle.
Well, that was the most obvious thing, because it was a stupid hint. But...
Well, I don't know.
I was so angry with that. Anyways... Yes, we're kind of saying the same thing to some degree,
except from opposite ends.
Yeah,
where you are smart and I am not smart.
You are Peckland, I am the Logan.
Make the ship go.
Triangles.
My complaint was just that the clue didn't make any sense. Like, there, I don't know how you figured it out, to be honest. But there's no way, that's not related to reality at all. Like, the shape between the shapes, what does that even mean? I don't, like, this, the triangle,
table full of triangles, I guess you put two and two together.
Well, because Maul said, oh, we just have to make a triangle out of the triangles. And then Burnham said, well, that's too obvious. It wouldn't be that. It's going to be like, it's going to be negative space. And she talks about negative space earlier. And how that was like a hint. So the negative space of a triangle is like a lack of a triangle. Maybe with triangles.
I guess. All I know is that it's just the stupidest user interface I've ever seen.
Yeah.
The interface? I'm like, oh, this is some sort of interface. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's just a table that appeared.
just like some kids' blocks.
Yeah,
I didn't understand that.
Play table.
He's like a bunch of Lego.
Yeah,
Maul does the wrong. So what happened? Maul does the wrong thing, and then she gets like glued electrically to the table.
Yeah, the portal's going to destroy itself because all those energy beams start coming towards the center, and all the gravity's getting fucked up.
As slowly as humanly possible, it can go any slower than that.
Yeah, it was very slow, wasn't it?
It's always like some, yeah. And then when Burnham, she grabs her and she just goes like, and she moves her. Like, what?
Mm.
I thought there was a thing that was holding her, like, and then Burnham can just like
no, she tugged a little. She was like,
jeez. It was a very small tug. It wasn't. Okay, moving on to, I'm a doctor, not an engineer. Which I thought was great. That was my favorite part of the episode.
No. He said, I'm a doctor, not a scientist.
Really? Is that what he
said? Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh.
But I was really happy that Colbert went on the ship. And he was like, I have a feeling I need to be there. It's the force. Obi-Wan told me to go. I hear a voice. I love that. And then he knew the frequency.
He's a man of faith.
Yeah. You know, I actually didn't mind that. I didn't mind his storyline. I thought this was an interesting way to kind of end it. And I never really liked that character, but for some reason, you know, they gave him something interesting to do, and they gave him an interesting experience, and suddenly he became an interesting character. They're like, oh, that's funny how that works.
Thoughts, Alan, the bookers?
I thought I had a thought, but I guess I don't.
Or shall we just talk about the spore drive and how it jumps the dreadnought to the galactic barrier?
I love that.
Yeah, me too.
That was very cool.
I was but it was cool.
That was my favorite part of the whole episode.
Have we seen the saucer separation since Generations?
It was cool to see saucer separation, but I wanted to be slower. I want to see the clamps.
they don't do that stuff.
Yeah, they don't do beauty passes or stuff on this show. Everything happens at a breakneck pace. Yeah. But yeah, I thought that was a very cool way to deal with the Breen. I'm like, because coming up with new ways to defeat enemy ships or whatever, you know, it kind of becomes like a formula, and it's kind of blah, you know, it's like boring and routine. But I thought that was good. Yeah. Like,
that was great. It spins the ship.
And Raider, you know, has mercy on him. It's like, I'll be nicer to you than you were to my people. It's like, you'll just take a few decades to get home.
Yeah, it's like 70 years. And then you're like, oh, it's a Breen version of Voyager.
That's the show. It's the backward pilot for the Star Trek Dreadnought.
Yeah, you that will be the whole dialogue episode.
But sometimes they're like, I promise I'll do anything to bring this crew home. Now give me a coffee.
But it spins the Breen ship. That means everybody on the Breen ship is like, oh my god, what the hell's happening? Right? Like, they'll be spinning while they're on the ship.
Yeah, they don't have a black alert to prepare them for it.
That's right. They don't have that weird thing that happens on the Discovery. They just get spun.
They did a lot of that during the battle, too. They did a lot of that. I thought they got rid of that after season 4, but they still had the little poofs of fire coming out of the wall during the battle. But what is this? Why is it fire erupting from the walls? It's so dumb. It's like, it's not even like the sparks are fine and stuff falling from the ceiling, but it's like a routine poof of flame. Like, what is this?
Yeah, they should get somebody on that. Somebody from engineering should take a look. Yeah, these things are always on fire.
Yeah, that was like flames shooting out. It's really dangerous.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about deep thoughts and the meaning of life. Because this episode is the only episode, really, aside from a little bit of the library episode, that actually tries to deal with those bigger, sort of universal cosmic themes that Star Trek has been very good at addressing and talking about in the past. But Discovery doesn't really do it that much, or at least the Discovery that I watch. It seems more like pew pew is what Discovery is. And in this episode, there was like, what's the meaning of life? It's like, just to appreciate the moment. And it was funny because I was like, it's kind of like a kid trying to learn to ride the bicycle or something. And you're just like, oh, you're almost there. You almost got it. And that's what it felt like with this, where they were like, you're always doing a good deep moment. I'm almost emotionally moved, but I'm not. It's a little too like Hallmark card, like wisdom that it's like, yeah.
Yeah. So close, but so far.
Alan, did you have some thoughts? Because you talked about being emotionally moved before we did the review.
Yeah, well, it's like Namir said. I had that feeling inside where I'm like, you know, kind of a little goosebumpy, and I'm like, I'm feeling like a little emotionally moved. It didn't move me to tears or anything throughout this, but you know, it's like I did feel something, you know. But I mean, that was more towards the end when it was Saru's wedding and you know the little when Burnham's going to decommission Discovery or abandon it, despace or whatever, and like thinking back to, you know, hugging everybody and especially Saru. Like it was actually the moment where she hugs where she reached out and then it was like a memory of hugging Saru, and I'm like, ah, oh, you know, because they always had a nice like brother sister relationship. But, you know, getting back to your original point about you know, the meaning of life or whatever and kind of the conversation she has with the progenitor she meets. I like the fact, because I thought they were going to do kind of like a Star Trek V where they're going to try to define God or the creation of the of universe and humanity and everything, which, you know, nobody's ever had the balls really to do. Because, you know, it flies in the faith of so many religions and stuff, and that upsets people.
Well, all good things are just fine, I think.
Yeah, I guess somewhat. But, you know, I like that the fact that there's still a mystery out there, like the progenitors just found this technology and they used it to create a diverse universe that they could, you know, shepherd or interact with or whatever, because they were like lonely, I guess. They were the only sentient life in the known universe. So I like the fact that there's still some mystery, like they didn't answer, you know, what is that, where do we come from? There's still that question about who made this technology, or are they God, are they some sort of force? You know, it's still a mystery, still beyond our understanding. So I like that. Because I thought they were just kind of going to hand wave them, like basically as a progenitor god, and they created everything, and et cetera, et cetera. So I like that they kind of left that ambiguous, and there's still like mysteries out there of who we, where we come from. So I thought that was a nice scene.
So many endings, just so many endings.
So many endings.
There was the progenitor ending, and then there was like, there was like the wedding ending, and then there was the ending up. Now they're all in the future ending, and then there's a, they're gonna put the ship somewhere. She's gonna want a ship by herself and have a flashback ending. What are your thoughts about all the endings, Damir?
Well, I remember that scene where Book and Burnham are on the beach, and after the wedding, and then I'm like, oh, this is the end. And okay, I was like, okay, this is a good ending. And I hit pod, and I'm like, there's still 20 minutes left. Like, what the hell? What the hell's going on?
Well, that was the original ending, I believe. The wedding was the original ending for the season.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. But I'm disappointed because I really thought that Burnham would become the new steward of whatever this thing is.
Yeah, I thought that's what we're doing with it. And it would have been, that would have been such a great, what's the word? Send off for the show.
It would have been a great send off. It would have made sense for her arc, right? Because the show is about her, and you're like, why is she so important? You know, like why is she this central figure in everybody's lives? And it's because it's leading to this moment, right, where she essentially becomes the steward for the most important thing in the universe, right? And so by definition, she becomes the most important person in the universe. And so I would have been like, oh, that's great, right? But she doesn't do it. I still don't really understand why they didn't make that choice. I guess they thought that there was going to be another season, so they can't lock up Burnham in the progenitor world hole. But, you know, but still, like, they should have, you know, I think that would have been the best ending. And then later on, when they, you know, do the flash forward, I was like, oh, this is all some sort of dream, or it's all some sort of thing. And at the end of it, we're going to find out that she actually did choose that. And now she's the guardian of this thing. And that never happened either. And I was like, oh, man, you know, like, they just gave her the ending that she always wanted. That's just so boring. Like happy endings are fine, but. I kind of feel like she didn't earn it. You know, like she did a ton of bad shit. You know, like you know, she started a war, and you know, she destroyed a ton of stuff, and you know,
and she, like sort of the ultimate redemption arc, and also like
exactly,
yeah. I think my feeling about the show, I don't know the show that well, but from what I watch it, it's a lot of like lovey-dovey, cuddly kind of feelings, but that are unearned, you know? So everything just comes up flat and cheesy. I mean, Star Trek has always had a lot of cheesiness in it, and a lot of like, I love you, even if you're not saying that, but it's kind of like what you're saying. But this show basically is kind of like almost on the nose about everything, and it just, you know, it just doesn't feel the same. And I think if there had been a real like gravitas to her arc where at the end, oh, she has to say goodbye to everybody and become a steward. And they could have done that because at the ending was the beach. And then the stuff, the flash forward was the new stuff they shot where she's old and gray. Although I thought the old book was pretty foxy. So I didn't mind that at all. But aside from that, I thought that it would have been a lot more interesting and poignant if she had to like say goodbye to a potential future with Book now that she's realized she wants a future with Book because she has a higher calling. And that would have been perfect because that was kind of what she wanted sort of from the beginning. And
yeah.
It's such an obvious thing that it was missed.
I feel
like you don't know, you guys have watched the
Cisco as the emissary if you go that route. Because that's kind of what Cisco's arc ended.
Yeah, so. But they're doing stuff that doesn't other shows all the time. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but it's like, did you guys watch Loki? The Marvel show?
No. I watched the 4 episodes of the first season.
Oh, well, I would highly recommend it.
At your behest. And then you kept telling me to watch it, so I stopped watching it. Because I was like,
oh, really? Okay, don't watch it then. Should definitely not watch it. Anyway, so it has a similar thing, but it, you know, the because the writing is much better and the story is really cohesive, it takes a different path, and they do it extremely well, and it's a really poignant ending, and it feels right. It feels like, okay, this is how that story should end. But Discovery doesn't feel that way. Like I think it does kind of feel that way in some respects. But it just could have been like, you know, it's the difference between what could have been a perfect ending to just an okay ending, right? And I think we got the okay, this is adequate.
Yeah, it was an okay ending. It wasn't horrible.
Yeah, it wasn't horrible. It was fine. You know, did it affect me? Well, not really. You know, but. So I'm still kind of disappointed about that. I wish they got it.
Is this the first ending of a series since the end of Enterprise?
No. Can't get the head.
Oh, right. Oh, that ending was better than this ending. I think this is probably the worst. Like, it's okay, but it's, I think, the worst ending of all the series.
I disagree. I think the Picard. I hate the Picard ending. I think the Discovery ending was actually
talked about it at length during our.
Oh God, yeah, I need to
see things review. Mm-hmm. But I somewhat agree with you. But if the Picard ending didn't really bother me as much because the last episode in general was good. So the last scene was stupid, but didn't ruin the whole thing.
I think the Picard was. Yeah, the Picard finale was like so much nostalgia bait. And it was basically a ton of like just references. Whereas Discovery, you know, for all of its faults, is its own thing. Like, you gotta give it credit. It's never reused actors. It's, you know, from previous Star Treks. I mean,
oh, but we forgot to mention
bring it back.
And Daniels from Star Trek Enterprise shows up in this.
I know. I was like, what?
So do you know anything about this, Namir?
Who? Yeah, he's the time agent or whatever from Enterprise.
Yeah.
Yes, who was on the Enterprise J, I believe. The Enterprise J.
And also, by the way, Alan, it's not true that there was a nostalgia bait in this episode. You got Geordi's visor. You had like Daniel's just went back in time and uses time traveling to just snag some mementos. Cisco's like, where'd my baseball go?
Jordy's like, what the hell? I can't see.
he's traveling time, just snatching things from people.
Yoink.
For a second, I thought he was the guy who stole Data in the from the Most Toys. I thought he was that guy. I thought the little puppet like me me was gonna show up.
But no, it's like they've done a pretty good job of just, you know, doing their own thing without having to, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, overall the show does bring back things like Captain Pike and things like that. So they do it, Spock, of course. But, you know, for the most part, like design wise, like they did a lot of like bold decisions, like redoing the Klingon.
Wait a second. Hang on. They redid the Klingons. Everybody got super mad, and they
I was never mad about it.
I wasn't either. I thought they were interesting.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, and you know, I respected them for you know, blazing their own path. You know,
I would have respected them if they stuck to their guns, but they were like, oh, sorry.
Yeah, well, that's where the show was frustrating, because it kept trying to reinvent itself. Like, and I think they really read too much into online chatter. And it's like, oh, geez, people hate this. So yeah. We gotta do something else. And it's like, oh, people hate this too. We gotta do something else. And it always had a hard time, you know, defining itself and finding its identity. Like every season, it feels almost like a different show, because they keep changing the tone. And even this one is like, oh, well, we're gonna try to be Strange New Worlds this season to be more action adventure. You know.
Yeah. Instead of just being like, oh, maybe we should write good stories.
Let's go to our final thoughts and our ratings for the episodes 9 and 10 and a half. And I'm calling it 10 and a half because the last episode was a feature length episode. It was like 90 minutes long or something.
Yeah. Sorry, before we do that, I do have a question about the end, because I like the ending. And, you know, so Burnham goes on one last mission. She's all alone, and she has to take the Discovery off into deep space and leave Zora there. So I don't understand that. Is this a callback to something else? Like, why? Okay, you better explain this to me.
There's a Short Treks episode called Calypso, where a human fighter named Kraft just stumbles upon Discovery. Has been abandoned. It's been abandoned for like 1,000 years, and Zora is just by herself. And this was made way before they even jumped to the 32nd century. So when Calypso aired, like, nobody really knew, like, why is Discovery 1,000 years in the future? Like, why has it been abandoned? Why is this computer self-aware? And then, of course, they drop those things later in the series. So this basically ties it into Calypso. If you watch Calypso, the ending of Discovery now makes sense. Because I found it weird, though, that it's kind of silly, because they made Calypso before Discovery jumped to the future. So the Discovery in Calypso is the original one without the 32nd century augmentation with the programmable matter and the detached form of cells and all that shit. So it's funny, though, because in this episode, they take the A off the saucer. They're taking the A off the saucer, and then they like made Discovery back to its original form, and then Burnham flew it off. It seemed like, why would you upgrade the ship to 32nd century and then revert it back? Just so.
But why did
the visuals of a short that they made like 8 years ago?
Okay, but why did they send Discovery on its own in the first place? Just for this loop?
Well, even Burnham mentions Kraft's name, like, so there was something there was something she knew that she had to do to fulfill some sort of destiny. Yeah. Wow. To be abandoned in deep space.
Oh, I don't like that.
Well, Alan was happy, so that's what matters.
Yes, but I really like that.
It didn't make any sense, yeah. That it's like it would have made more sense to go back to Calypso and just drop in a stock shot of the 32nd century Discovery instead of like turn it back into its 23rd century version and then send it to DC. Which I thought was kind of dumb, but
I thought they were hiding it because they didn't want the technology to fall in somebody else's hands, but they couldn't destroy Discovery because Zora was alive. You know, that's what I was going with. So
I thought that was part of it too originally. Like, because I mean, Burnham shouldn't know about anything that happened like 1,000 years from now. I thought originally when they said that it was that reason, because to protect the steer data that Zora possesses, which is the reason there was in the future in the first place, plus the spore drive technology, and just abandon the ship. But yeah, then Burnham mentions like something about craft, and I'm like, oh, that's a connection to Calypso, which is like even further in the future. Yeah.
And Lucas is like, what the fuck do you think? I don't know what's going on. But now we're just, do you want to start, Namir? Tell me your final thoughts.
Yeah, I think they tried. So I think they tried, you know, they did the best that they could, but, you know, it's still Discovery, so they had limitations, but they did what they could within those limitations. There were some interesting ideas, some good sequences. You know, I felt something that felt like an emotion at the end when the Discovery was leaving space dock with Zora. I thought that was really, really a nice moment, although Alan's kind of ruined that a little bit now that I know why they're doing it, which I don't really like. But I think overall it was a good two episodes and it's a good ending for Discovery, and it fits with, I think, what they were trying to do. You know, everybody always is okay in the end, and everybody gets what they want, etc. Everybody's happy. They talk about their feelings all the time. There's no conflict, etc. It's great. So I'm gonna give it a 7.
For both episodes?
Yeah, for both.
I'm gonna go first, and Alan, you can since it's your show that you watched for 5 years, Alan, I'll get you to do the last final thoughts and the ratings. I enjoyed these episodes. I feel like if these were the worst of the season, it would have been a great season. And I think if this was the worst of Discovery, then Discovery would be a pretty good show. But unfortunately, this is the best. And so if I totally divorce it from the rest, I had a good time. It was in a kind of more Star Wars-y kind of like way, little space adventure. Yeah, like, you know, I have a little nitpicks here and there, but generally enjoying myself. I thought the episode 9 was like a 7 out of 10, and I guess they're both like 7 out of 10s. The second episode wasn't as good as the episode 10 wasn't as good as episode 9, but you know, they were pretty good. And I liked that there were some, for the first time, I was feeling a sense of awe and something interesting and intriguing, and I was tickled a little bit. And I feel like it ended on a good note for the show. Alan, take us home.
Well, I mean, I wasn't as big a fan of the heist part of the show as you guys were. I felt that the heist was kind of lazy by the numbers. The only reason it worked was that the Breen were pretty dumb. I felt like their heist was pretty clumsy and it should have been easily foiled. But they were. They had to be successful for the story to continue. I mean that episode didn't work as well for me as the finale. Because generally, I felt like it wrapped up everything quite nicely. I liked that, you know, Saru found love. Book and Michael found love. Everything had a nice happy ending. I liked the little future epilogue. You know, it was nice that that everything just worked out for Burnham, I guess. You know, she had a nice, comfortable life and had a son who's now going to be a captain. And, you know, maybe these characters will show up now on the Academy spinoff. I'm sure, you know, this is not the end of most of these characters. They'll always have potential guest appearances.
Well, I noticed that there was a little plug for the Starfleet Academy.
Oh, yeah, that's totally going to be the Tilly show. And Holly Hunter now, apparently, too. It buttoned up everything pretty nicely. I mean, it's Discovery. It's, you know, technically still my least favorite Star Trek of the Star Treks that I've watched in my life. But there's enough good stuff, you know, that I didn't hate it like some people do with a passion.
Give us a number, Alan. Give us a number.
Give us a number. I'll give it an 8. I got to give it better than you guys because I like to show more than you guys. So I'll give the two parts an 8 overall. It was, you know, it was Discovery at its best, even though its best is still not as enjoyable as other Star Treks.
Well said.
So, all right. So, yeah.
Are you sad that it's done, Alan?
You know, I would like them to have, you know, a planned finale rather than just getting, you know, a 15-minute tack on after they got canceled. But, you know, at least they got that. A lot of shows don't get that. They just end. So
so that's our review of Star Trek or Discovery. We're wrapping it up on season 5 in the series. But we are not wrapped up here at Nerdiest Prime. We continue into the bold future. Tomorrow we have a review of Star Trek 3 that is celebrating the 40th anniversary of that movie. Next week, we have our second part of Star Trek, the Motion Picture. And then throughout the month of June, we will resume our Star Trek, the Next Generation Season 1 reviews. And so we hope you join us then.
Nerdiest Prime is Namir Med, Lucas Cardona-Morissette, Alan O'Neill, and Jenny R. Johnson. Check out our YouTube channel and leave a review.